The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good. Thank you for that. Take your Bible, if you will, and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, tonight, normally on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night, I'll preach and I'll be right out there with you. Tonight's going to be a little bit of teachy, preachy type of stuff, but I think if you'll get a hold of this tonight, especially you that are leaders, I think it'll help you. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody's a leader to somebody. Somebody is following you. They are. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verses 12 and 13, if you will. The Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." So notice in your Bible, he's not talking about somebody that's weak. He's talking about somebody that's strong. He's not talking about a follower. He's talking about a leader. He's talking about somebody that's standing. Talking about somebody that's trying to live for Christ. Talking about somebody that's trying to go the right direction. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse 13, the Bible says, "There have no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able." That's what it says here. It says, "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." I want to speak to you tonight on what happens when your strength becomes your weakness. What happens when your strength becomes your weakness? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, here's what he says to reiterate. He says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed." Take heed. In other words, be aware. Note this thing. Take heed. Be able to grasp what I'm about to tell you. He says, "Take heed lest ye fall," or "lest he fall." So he's talking to that individual tonight that is a strong person. He's saying tonight, if you think that you're so strong that you won't fall, beware. He's saying to that person that thinks that they're so mature that they're past falling, beware. He's talking to that person that thinks that they're so strong and they have pride in their strength, beware. You see, because strength could become your very weakness. Strength could become your downfall. Strength could become your failure. Strength could become your worst enemy. I'd recommend to you tonight, if your strength is your strength, not to have confidence in your strength, but to have confidence in the Lord God that gave you your strength. You know, you think about this. I would recommend this. Most people are afraid of their weaknesses. If I were you tonight, I think I'd be more afraid of your strengths. Because most people will lose their confidence in God when they become self-reliant. After all, if you've got everything under control, why do you need God? If you've got everything handled, why rely on Him? If you've got everything going your way, then what would be the purpose of going to Him and asking Him for help? I've seen soul winners, and I've been soul winning now for over 30 years, and I've been out soul winning with what you would call, in fundamentalism, the greatest soul winners in America. But I've seen soul winners that have had the accolades of praise go out soul winning in the flesh and become miserable failures because they became so proficient at showing people how to be saved that they didn't need the Holy Ghost anymore. They didn't need God to work anymore. So now it's becoming what they can do. I've seen preachers that stop reading their Bibles. I've seen Sunday school teachers that stop reading their Bibles. I've seen people stop praying. I've seen people that used to be faithful to church and now, by the way, they used to be faithful to church and always show up early before the church service ever started. Now they show up late or not at all. Because after all, now they think that they're self-sufficient. We have outgrown church. We have outgrown God. We have outgrown God working in our lives. Can I tell you, you need to watch out for yourself if you're relying on your strength. Let me give you some examples. Peter was very bold. He was bold with his enemies. Peter was the one that stood and he preached Christ very strongly. Peter was the one that said when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? It was Peter that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was bold with his talk. It was Peter that said, Lord, I'll be willing to go to prison for you. Lord, I would be willing to die for you. Peter was strong in his vocal endorsement. Peter was strong in his living. He was bold in his pursuit for Christ. But he was also bold in the way that he fell. One day while sitting beside the fire, warming his hands with the devil's crowd, all of a sudden a lady came up and said, your speech betrayeth you. And as she said that, she said, I'm not one of them. I know not the Christ, he said over and over again as he denied the Lord. And can I tell you, a person that lives boldly for Christ, can I tell you, when they backslide boldly. Understand what I just said. A person that lives boldly for Christ, when they fall boldly. Normally when strong people backslide, they backslide strongly. I've seen preachers that used to preach the Word of God, and when they stopped preaching the Word of God, they not only got out of preaching, they got out of church. I've seen missionaries come back from the mission field, and not only did they quit the mission field, they quit God. Can I tell you that you have to be very, very understandable tonight when it comes to, and I thank God that we have men of confidence, but you do not need to have confidence in your flesh. You need to have confidence in the God that gave you flesh. You need to understand that you need to rely on Him. You don't need to rely on you. Solomon, his strength was in his wisdom, and he started out very wonderful. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and in verse 10, as you see, he even gives that which is praise, if you will, where he says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in. It says, before this people, for who can judge this people? Thy people, he said, thy people, it says, that is so great. He said, God, these are your people. I can't judge them. God, I need your wisdom. But that became his strength. And before you know it, Solomon now is using his strength, and he unwisely becomes an alliance with those that are ungodly, and he unwisely marries women that worship false gods, and he unwisely decides that he's going to be greedy of gain, and now his strength became his weakness. You think about that which is Abraham. Abraham's strength was his faith. Abraham had faith in God. Abraham was known as a great man of faith. He was the one that left the Ur of the Chaldees and went to live in a place that he knew not where his final destination would be. He was the man, if you would, that's recorded in Hebrews chapter 13 as God brags on him as having great faith as a testament to those that ought to follow Jesus Christ. His faith was his strength. But the very next thing you see about Abraham is Abraham takes his wife Sarah and they sojourn down in Egypt. And as they sojourn down in Egypt, a famine comes into the land. And now Sarah being beautiful, he now takes his faith, instead of putting it in God, puts it in himself and tries to wiggle himself out of a situation and lies that Sarah is even his wife. His strength became his weakness. You have to be very careful that you do not rely on the strengths that you have. Always give God the glory. Always give God the honor. Well, I tell you what, a girl says, well, God created me and I am beautiful. When you start thinking you're beautiful, that will be your downfall. A man says, well, I am a person that has a business. We have many businessmen in our church, and I thank God for you. But when you all of a sudden start moving away from God and you start taking the praise upon yourself, can I tell you, that will be your downfall. Paul, who was known for his strength and teaching about the very grace of God, understand that now all of a sudden one day took that which was the law and he embraced it one day and he took a vow and he departed from his strength over to his weakness. Moses, whose strength was meekness, all of a sudden lost his temper one day and smote the rock. And what was his strength now became his weakness. Elijah, whose strength was his courage, one day decided that he was going to use his strength and use his courage for God. But not long after that, he ran from a woman by the name of Jezebel and found himself sitting underneath a juniper tree. His strength became his weakness. Samson, whose strength it was when he would walk in the Spirit, nobody could stop him. When he could be close to God, he was unstoppable. He was a man of strength. He was a man of courage. But all of a sudden now, when he gave his strength to that which was Delilah and started to walk in the flesh, his strength became his enemy. Noah was the man that God used to build a great ark. But don't forget, as he built that ark for God and he used his ability to build something for God, and then he got off the ark, and you'll remember this, the next thing he did was he built an altar to God. He was a great builder. But then you'll find out that he used his strength and he built himself a vineyard and wound up getting drunk in his own vineyard. His strength became that which was his weakness. Now, how is it that you and I cannot be destroyed by our strength? Let me give you a couple of statements tonight. Statement number one, Satan's victorious when our strength becomes our weaknesses and hurts us. Satan is victorious when our strength becomes our weakness and it hurts us. Look at your Bible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9. You know it well if you're a seasoned Christian, but let me read it to you just the same. The Bible says, be sober. Be vigilant. The Bible says, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeing whom he may devour. The Bible says in verse 9, whom resist, it says, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same, it says, afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we have to understand that when your strengths become your weaknesses, they can hurt you. The same thing that took somebody else down is the same thing that can take you down. Nobody is above. Everybody's on the same walking ground. When you think that Satan, now by the way, you listen to me, when Satan takes down a weakness in your life, then Satan wins and you get hurt. When Satan takes down a strength in your life, then not only do you get hurt, but others get hurt. Because your strength is your influence. Come on. Give you an example. When a bus worker falls into sin, it hurts a few. When a bus captain falls into sin, it hurts a few more. When a bus director falls into sin, it hurts a few more. When a pastor falls into sin, it hurts a few more. The more that God gives you the ability, the privilege, the blessedness to be able to love and help and lead people, the more serious it is. So Satan is victorious when our strengths become our weaknesses and it hurts us. So the more that Satan can knock a leader out, the more it hurts others. The more that Satan can destroy the dad of the home, the more it hurts others. That's why you kids, please listen to me, and I love you in the name of the Lord, but can I tell you tonight, instead of making fun of your parents, when your parents are trying their very best to live for God, can I tell you, you ought to be praying for your parents, encouraging your parents, because if the devil can knock them out, then the devil can take you too. You ought to be somebody that rises up and you pray for the bus captain. Don't make fun of the bus captain. Amen. Pray for the youth director. Don't make fun of the youth director. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Don't make fun of the Sunday school teachers. Pray for the choir leaders and pray for the staff and pray for those that are around you. Why? Because the devil would like nothing more than to knock them out and to destroy them. When's the last time you prayed for your daddy? Well, you know, my daddy's not worth praying for. Then you're a sorry Christian. When's the last time you prayed for your mom? When's the last time you prayed for an older brother or sister? By the way, when's the last time you told them you were praying for them? Well, if I tell them that I'm praying for them, that's going to make them mad. Good. At least they know somebody cares. Come on. You who are married tonight, your person that you're married to, husband or wife, they don't know if you care or not unless you tell them. Right. They have no idea. Your children tonight, they don't know that you love them unless you tell them. We've got to get out of this rut where we think, well, people just know how I feel. No, if you love them, tell them you love them. If you're praying for them, encourage them and tell them that you're praying for them. You say, well, I tell you what, man, I tell you, I've got a leader and that leader is just rubbing me the wrong way. Then I guess you're praying for them more being the good Christian you are. I guess you're blessing them more being the good Christian you are. You're supposed to bless them that persecute you. I guess you're saving up to buy them a car. Now, can I tell you this? I'm saying tonight that Satan is victorious when our strengths become our weaknesses and hurts us. Statement number one. Statement number two. Then we see that your strength could become your weakness if you assume that your strength brought you success. If you look at your strength tonight and say, this is the reason I'm surviving, because I'm a strong individual. Hey, let me tell you, the reason God is blessing my home is because of me. If it wasn't for me, my home would not survive. Can I tell you, dear beloved friend, you're destined for a fall. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, listen to it now, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Come on. Hey, what about getting a hold of God? And what about letting God get a hold of you? Stop being a powder puff. Stop thinking that you're somebody that you're not. What about getting on your face before a holy God and stretching yourself out and saying, God, if you don't come through, I'm through. God, I can't do it by myself. God, I can't make it by myself. God, I need you. What about that? I'm saying tonight, we understand that your strength could become your weakness if you assume that your strength is that which is giving you success. God is the one that gives you success. What about getting on your face before a holy God? You say, I'm trying to live right in front of my mama, in front of my daddy, so they get saved. What, are you praying for them? Are you begging God for them? Are you asking God to do a work? Oh, come on. I think here's what we do. We leave God out of the scenario. That's what we do. You know, most churches could have church without God, not even missing. Well, I wish things were different in the church. Oh, yeah, sure. But, Bubba, let me ask you something. Have you prayed? Well, I wish things was different in the home. Have you prayed? Well, I wish my mama, I wish my daddy. Have you prayed? We walk around all the time. We bellyache about this and we bellyache about that. And I wish I had friends and I wish, I'm saying this tonight. If you get a hold of God, God is God. God can change things. God can answer prayer. God can come through. God is not dead. God is alive. And God can help you tonight if you just get a hold of God. I'm saying tonight this. I'm saying Satan is victorious when our strengths become our weaknesses because they hurt us. Statement number two, our strength could become your weakness if you assume that your strength is the way to your success. Statement number three, your strength could become your weakness. Think about this. If you stop growing in your strength for God, okay, Brother Craig, stand up. Here's what we do. Brother Craig is a weightlifter. Watch this. He lifts weights. Go ahead, lift weights. Okay? And after a while, his muscles begin to bulge. They begin to protrude. His jackets become to be tight. Not here as much as here. All right, wait a minute. Now watch this, if you will. And after a while, he says, man, I'm strong enough. I don't need to lift them anymore. So he puts down the weights. He sits down. He goes back to his potato chip bag. He goes back to being his couch potato. He watches his flat screen or whatever he has. And he's eating his potato chips. Now, he's going mildly at first, just three bags a night. After a while, it's consuming more. Now, he's going to grow. But he's going to grow not like he was growing before, because he laid something down that got him where he was before. See, here's what we do. We grow to a certain stature in our life, Christianity-wise. So I don't need to read the Bible through. I mean, after all, I read it through 2 years ago. I mean, how much more do you need to read the Bible through? I mean, after all, I did read it. And then you compare yourself to somebody else. At least I read it and they probably didn't. Already you're on the downhill slope. What about, it's not my mama, not my papa, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We lose it, don't we? We lose it. We say, well, my mom's not walking with God, my dad's not walking with God, so why should I? Because you need to. Well, I know somebody else in the youth department. Look at what they're getting away with. Do you want to follow man down the path of wrong and sin? Or do you want to follow God up the path to blessing and protection? Hey, look, I'm saying this tonight. Your strength could become your weakness if you stop growing in the area of your strength. How do you feed your strength? By simply being obedient. How do you work those muscles? By simply picking your spiritual muscles up and keep doing it. Keep doing it. Hey, we had people that moved here from other churches, and you came from other churches that were smaller churches, and you said this. You said, well, there's no place for me to serve at Parkside Baptist Church because look at all the people that's involved. But you can still go soul winning. Why'd you lay that down? Amen. You still come to church. Why'd you lay that down?
Amen.
You can still be friendly and stay around, shake hands after church. Good. Smile. You can still do that. You can still do it. You don't have to rush off. You don't smell that bad. Hey, look, I'm saying this. Here's what we do. We say, hey, I've been there. I've done that. I've served God. I've had Hey, you ought to serve God until you take your last dying breath. You ought to give Jesus Christ first. You ought not to say, I've been coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night for a long time, and now I have arrived. You have not arrived. You are going to fall. I'm saying tonight, please understand this, your strength becomes your weakness when you stop growing in the area of strength that God has given you. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 12, the Bible says, not as though, Paul is speaking here, I had already obtained. Paul, probably the greatest Christian of his day. Okay, wait, watch this. When you first got saved, when you missed church, it bothered you. Come on, ate you up. Now that you've been saved for a while, doesn't bother you. Oh, I can miss one service. Oh, I can show, and you walk in late. Doesn't bother you. And then when you do come to church, you don't pay attention to what the preacher says. You know, you're on your phone texting somebody across the auditorium, hoping that they have their phone on. Or you're staring at a guy, hopefully, maybe he'll look at you. Or you're staring at a girl, hopefully she will pay attention to you. Or you're writing notes to each other, preacher's preaching about you tonight. Yeah, you're writing notes, he got you, didn't he? Statement number next. Your strength could become your weakness when you're deceived into believing that your strength will not be the devil's target. And I think that's what gets us most. Well, you know, I tell you what, the devil's not going to get me in that area because after all, I've arrived. You know how you can tell when somebody thinks that they've arrived in a certain area? Because they don't rely on God. Come on. They don't ask God to bless them in their soul winning endeavors. They don't ask God to bless them before they read their Bible. They never come to an altar. Why do I need to go to the altar? I mean, come on. I'm the deacon's kid. I'm the pastor's kid. I'm the assistant pastor's kid. Why do I need to go to the altar? I mean, don't they know who I am? Yes, we do. That's why this sermon is tonight. I'm telling you, I see the devil smacking people and smacking people and smacking people and smacking people. I see preachers that become so self-reliant, and don't get me wrong tonight, I can preach this way because I is a preacher, but I see preachers that get so caught up in themselves. I mean, you know, they've got this aroma about them. You know, like they're somebody, like everybody else is below them. Can I tell you, that is not Bible. The same grace of God that saved me is the same grace of God that saved you. I'm no better than you are. We serve the same Christ. We serve the same God. We go soul winning with the same gospel. And can I tell you tonight, when I preach, my underarm sweats just like you would if you were preaching. Now, I'm saying tonight, understand. Man, I hope I'm not scaring visitors tonight. I'm sorry. When your strength will become your weakness, then you deceive yourself into believing that your strength is not the target of the devil. Now, I love you. Please understand how much I care. When one of our people goes into sin, I cry. I weep. When one of these assistant pastors comes in and says, "Preacher, I don't know what to do about this or that or the other," I'm taken back sometimes because it's like, dear Lord, I don't know. You got to help me. You don't have a man of God. You listen to me. I've got to rely on him because you need him more than you need a man. But Paul prayed that God would have free course through him. David got a hold of the horns of the altar and he said, "I'm not going to let it go, God, until you bless me." Jacob got a hold of the angel of God and said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And I don't want Parkside Baptist Church just to be another church. I don't want a pastor, just another people. We need a place where God can work and God can come down and God can change lives. We need a place where our young people don't just hear an average sermon, but they have a sermon that's going to put them on fire for God. And that's not going to happen apart from Christ. I'm saying tonight, statement number 5. Last statement. Well, let me read you a scripture for statement number 4. That'd be good. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before," and by the way, this is talking to people that know things. You know, we have, honestly, we have renowned Christians that have joined this church. Faithful servants of God that have moved their membership to this church. Renowned Christian, being greatly used of God in many other places, and joined this church. I want you to see something. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away," it says, "with the error of the wicked," says, "fall from your own" what? "Steadfastness." Okay, let me show you something. Watch this. Stand up. Just stand over there and play with your hands. Just, oh, he irritates me. Oh. Stand up, if you will. Do something else. Oh, he just, man, every time I see these two guys, oh, they just irritate me. Now, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Man. I mean, he's always acting like he's got lice. Well, Man, he's acting like he's got, Brother Craig says, couldn't use me for that illustration. He's always acting like he's got a nervous breakdown type of thing, you know, just, all right, now watch. Here's what happens. And I come to church and I look for the little things. Instead of seeing what God is really doing. Well, the preacher's doing this and it bothers me. Well, a staff member's doing this and it bothers me. Well, first off, dear beloved friend, you will never find a perfect church. And the moment you do and you join it, it will cease to be perfect. You will ruin it. Hello? Now watch this. If I pay attention to people that irritate me all the time, before you know it, I'm going to see somebody else, because that's what's got my attention. I'm not listening to the preaching. I'm not letting God speak to my heart. Okay, now watch. Ever since I've been preaching, I have been preaching this way. Now, different people, they preach differently. They do. I've seen preachers that come up, monotone, stand behind the pulpit whole time. I'm not making fun of that because God's using them. I thank God for them. I have learned an enormous amount of truth through men of God like that. Stay with me. I've seen preachers that will walk back and forth very eloquently. And they preach and they talk as they walk. Never raise their voice. You know, I thank God for that. I've been saved for a long time, and can I tell you, I've grown by great men of God that do that. I've seen preachers that run back and forth. You don't know where they're going to be next. They're as loose as a goose. Now, it depends on really who you came up under and how God uses your personality. Because God uses different people different ways. And when you start putting everybody in a box, and you say, well, I tell you what, I don't like the way that guy. Look, I was sick. I had to miss first Sunday I've ever missed since we left New York City. I missed a church service because I was just deathly sick. I had good men that preached in this pulpit. Now, it would be very unfair for you to judge them and say, well, they don't preach like Pastor Wells. Be very unfair. It would be very unfair for you to judge an outside speaker and say, well, Pastor Wells doesn't preach like them. It'd be very unfair. Now, I'm going somewhere. It'd be very unfair tonight, young person, if you judged your parents and you said, well, my parents are not good enough. I wish I had so-and-so as parents. It's not fair. God knew exactly what you needed when he gave you what you have. Now, Brother Palmer might be sandpaper in your life. Let him rub one for Jesus. Brother Jonathan might be a sandpaper in your life. Brother Craig, don't want to leave you out. Go ahead, Stan. Might be a sandpaper in your life. Brother Butler, Brother Crutcher that's home with his dear wife tonight because she's very sick, might be that sandpaper in your, or somebody else that's one of our college professors or one of our academy teachers or whatever the case may be. Can I tell you? Or maybe it's a friend that you've got. See, we're a church that's growing, and you're going to have somebody that's going to rub you the wrong way. You're going to have somebody that sits in front of you, and you wish that they would not. You're going to have somebody that sits beside you, and you're going to say, oh, again. But you have got to be careful not to be distracted. You've got to be careful to come to church and say, God, I'm coming to church because, God, I need you. And, God, I need you to speak to my heart. And, God, I want to change something. You'll just show me what to change. God, I'll give you everything I've got. But if you're not careful, here's what you do. You come, and I know, I've been in church a long time. And so you do something too. Do something, I don't care. And rub your hair. Okay, go ahead. That's fine, do your stuff. Okay, go ahead, do something. You know, okay. You know, if you're not careful, all these things. It's like, I don't want to go to church. These people are driving me nuts. I mean, that guy's always just beating his Bible, beating his Bible, beating his Bible. This guy over here's got a nervous problem. He's always going like this, and you wonder, what in the world? This guy's trying to scratch his head like he's trying to grow hair. I mean, you know, I just don't get it, you know. And this guy's always, you know, he's always straightening the thing up. Premium, proper, premium, proper, premium, proper, premium, proper. Yeah, just, ooh, just drives me nuts. And if you're not careful, that'll get you out of church. You'll quit. You'll quit. How many times have I heard, well, I don't have any friends? How many times have I heard, I don't want to get close to so-and-so because they got habits I don't like? How many times have I heard, well, I don't want to sit next to so-and-so because they don't listen? They're always talking, doing the message. How many times have I heard, well, I've tried to be close to so-and-so, but they just brush me off? How many times have I heard that? Multiple times. And then the devil, because of your strong personality, you take your stand. I'm right. I don't care what anybody says, I'm right because I'm me. What about letting God be in control of you? Thank you. Be seated. Watch this, and I'm done now. Here it is. Last statement, statement number 5. Your strength could become your weakness when you perform it in the flesh and not in the spirit. Your strength could become your weakness when you perform it in the flesh, not in the spirit. So how do you know if it's in the flesh, preacher? How do you know if it's in the spirit? Glad you asked. Here it is. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 16, here's what it says. This I say then, walk in the spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So inside, there's a battle. The flesh says, no! Spirit says, yes. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, capital S, ye are not under the law. Now listen to what it says. But the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Okay, so how do I know if I'm working in the arm of the flesh? Which are these? He's about to give us a list. Here's a checklist. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanliness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variedness. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. Murderers. Drunkenness. Revelings. Listen to it. And such like. That means the list continues. It says, of which I tell you before, and as I have also told you in time past, says that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you're doing fleshly things so much that you don't even look like a believer. I've seen saved people act so lost, you couldn't even tell they were saved. Amen. Yet they say they're saved. Well, young people texting things to each other they shouldn't be doing. Right. Works of the flesh. Speaking vile things. Works of the flesh. Listening to vile music. Works of the flesh. Dressing in a lewd way. Works of the flesh. Oh, but wait, it's good news. But the fruit of the Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Let it sink in. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, I love this, against such there is no law. He said, you can do that all day long, not feel bad about it because you've not broken any laws. Man, you can forgive somebody over and over and over again, never feel bad. You can love somebody over and over and over again, never feel bad. You can have great faith, never feel bad. You can have meekness, never feel bad. Now, here it is. I'm done. Three verses. Verse 24. The Bible says, and they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and lust. And if you live in the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and let us not be desirous of vainglory. There's that leader again. Hey, let me tell you what I did. How about let me tell you what Christ did?
Amen.
Provoking one another and envying one another. Oh, preacher, man, you sound like that I'm just supposed to give God all the glory. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, but preacher, I'm the one that worked hard with that song. But God gave you the lungs.
Amen.
Come on.
Right.
I'm going to say this about my dear wife. I don't know if she wants me to or not, so I ask your forgiveness in advance. I was really scared the other night. Wednesday night, my daughter came to church straight from work, and she received a text message from my wife. My wife called me about 5 o'clock. She said, honey, I'm getting sick. I don't think I can come. I said, are you okay? She said, I think I'll be okay. About 6 o'clock, she started throwing up and having other difficulties. And about 7 o'clock, she had dehydrated so much, and she had texted my daughter that was here and said, you need to come immediately. And so about the time she was getting to church, she had to turn around and go get some Sprite. The time I got home and I checked on her, you know, afterwards, and she said, I'm still throwing up, and I don't feel well. And I said, look, I'm coming home. And so I got home, and when I got home, I spent time with her in our guest bathroom, and I was there with her, and then all of a sudden her eyes went back in her head. Her lips turned purple. She was shaking. I said, this is out of my reach. And I prayed right there with her, dear God. And I thought, you know, I need God, you to give me some wisdom what to do here. And so I called the EMTs, and they came. We had to actually get her bodily out of there because she had another convulsion. Eyes went further back in the head, head plopped back. I thought, man, I might lose my dear wife. Those EMTs came in there, and they were scared because her lips were purple and her eyes were receded, and she was shaking and shaking and shaking, and immediately they took her in the ambulance and started to work on her and trying to help her, and she was delirious. I mean, everything she was saying was just out of this world. I could have made lots of money that night. But in all seriousness, she was hurting. And boy, my kids were scared. I was scared because we love that dear lady.
Amen.
And boy, she's precious.
Amen.
And man, I got those EMT guys in there and the gals, and they filled my living room, and we got her out and got her on the stretcher and took her down. And after 4 big bags of IV, replacing all of her dehydration, and then giving her meds and even gave her morphine and stuff like that, we were ready to ship out and go home. I was so glad that we went home.
Amen.
Come on. That could have been a different story. But I was so glad we went home. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you, when you get knocked down to your knees, you pray, don't you? Why is it that we wait? Why is it that you don't pray for your parents until Your parents get old and gray and feeble. Why don't you give them flowers and love them while they're still alive? I cannot begin to tell you how many funerals I preached over the years, and people walk by the casket, say, "I wish I could have did more. I wish I would have did more. I just wish I could have got close to them." But they didn't. Now, here's my question. Why can't you do that for Christ? Why can't you give your entire life to Christ? Instead of saying, "Well, let me tell you, I need to work and make more money," why don't you give somebody the gospel? You could do that in addition to making your money, couldn't you? Isn't that what Christians do? Instead of skipping church where you could make the extra bonus money, why can't you be faithful to His house? Isn't that what Christians do? Don't let your strength. Did not the Israelites do the same thing? Israelites said, "Oh, God, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust you. We're going to trust you. God blessed them. Then they forsook the Lord their God. They took their eyes off the one that gave the blessing, and they looked at the blessing and said, "It's by our strength that we got this gain." No. It's because of the graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's never forget that.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.